Te dicen que música puede calmar la bestia salvaje, que riendo es el mejor medicina y poesía que puede ser sentimientos más profundo de perspicacia. Las historias somos más juntos entre tiempo y espacio. Y una canción es como una foto. Dice una historia. It is said that music can soothe the savage beast, and laughter is the best medicine. Poetry can make us feel deeper by insight, and stories bring us together through space and time. A song is like a picture, it tells a story. I would like to humbly present The Medicine Show.
The Medicine Show is a variety show which features artists doing original material, which is the medicine itself. Artists whose material and insight is healing by nature, content which reflects our culture in order to stimulate thought and reconsideration to a positive outcome.
They say a smile is contagious. Share.
To everyone and everywhere. Welcome to the travel show, the medicine show.
Yeah.
I remember. Oh, that's a football.
I remember that show. We did. Tyrone and I did a show together before.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, DJ.
So this is the CITR 101.9 FM, and of course, this is the medicine show. Late night show is the start of the weekend. We play basic drum and bass or jungle all throughout the night.
Later, as it winds down, it gives your sense that some music needs a no-beat tempo, or some ambient sounds, or just industrial sounds where the music's going to the floor. Tune in every Saturday mornings right after BPM Vibe here on CITR 101.9 FM. Or if you want to hear us other parts of Canada, the United States, or Australia, or anywhere that you happen to have a computer, check us out online at CITR.ca.
Welcome to the Medicine Show, and tonight we have a couple of original music projects here to share the songs with us. And an entertainer magician should be showing up at some point tonight.
Next week.
Sometime next week. He rebooked, sorry.
We're traveling into the future.
Okay, so in the studio tonight we
The studio tonight we have violinist Thomas Beckman and Buddy and the Scarecrow Band, but we only have Buddy here tonight. And the musician entertainer Stephen Kaplan, aka Doctor Strange, will be here next week. We had him coming in this week, but a little postponement here. Starting off tonight is our local violist from different parts of the planet. He has studied both here in South Africa. And welcome, Thomas. How you doing?
Good.
Second time around, right? We already had you on with the Sons of Grammel, but you have solo projects going.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah, well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. Well, my training is in classical music, so when I started the project with Matt and we made Sons of Granville, it was a very different sort of route, or it was a different genre altogether. So my solo music pays more homage to my classical upbringing, and so it's nice to do that, because then I never let go of the classical. Sort of undertones, you could say.
Nuances to your music.
Yeah.
And to who you are as a musician.
Because rock and folk is like, it's very much rock and folk.
Right.
Whereas with what I do, it allows me to really harken back to even sometimes Bach or, likes. And also the style, it's much more in alignment with what I learned. So it feels rewarding because of that. Yeah.
Right. Perfect. Mm. And if, what influence, who would you say, as a musical entity at any time period, would be someone who you are influenced by?
Well, I have to say, when was it? It was like the third year of my degree at University of Cape Town, when my violin teacher, because I was studying violin at the time, she said, you should switch to viola. So, and her husband, Oleg, who unfortunately died a few years ago, he was a phenomenal violist, and he was a luthier as well. So I actually ended up buying one of his instruments. But one day I went there, and he was going to show me some moves, so to speak, on the viola. And I was just blown away by how good he was. He's just playing like extraordinarily difficult rep. But he played this recording of Alfred Schnittke's Viola Concerto, and it was being performed, I think, by probably the main USSR orchestra of the time. And Yuri Bashmet was the viola soloist, who's a huge Russian violist figure in Russia and Europe. And not so much anymore, but he's definitely a great player. And I was just struck by the sound of the viola. I'd never heard an instrument sound like that. And I always thought violin was where it was at. And then I heard this viola playing. It was so dark and breathy and rich. It sounded like a human voice, and I was like, whoa, the viola can sound like that? Freaking sign me up, man. Like, that was just like, wow, I was just totally blown away. And Yuri Bashmet's playing was so exquisite. Like, just the sheer speed of the vibrato and the passion and the sound. It sounded like a cluster of, it sounded like a viola section when he played. It's the breadth and the richness of the tones were so thick.
Right.
So I was just like, that's crazy. I have to. And then from that day on, I knew that viola was what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So for those who are not in the know, could you tell people what is the difference between a viola and a violin? Because a lot of people just think it's a fancy name for a violin.
It's a bit bigger.
Don't hit me for saying this, but William Primrose, who was one of the first great viola classical violists of the 20th century, when he was asked that question, he famously replied, "The viola is a violin with a college education." I won't tell that to any violins, but that's what he said. And a viola is just, it's bigger. It's if you think of a saxophone, how you have like bass, tenor, soprano, saxophone. The viola is kind of the same. It's the same concept. It's an alto violin,
right,
in a sense.
Yes. Okay.
So it's a little bigger. The strings are longer. You have C string. The violin goes as low as G string. The viola goes a step, goes a fifth lower than that. So it's the same tuning as a cello, except it's an octave higher, and we don't have the E string.
Right. Does it also carry with it a certain, like you've discovered certain other passages in music, does it also imply different styles as well?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, the viola has a bit of a checkered history. It's sort of known as the Cinderella of the strings because up until recently it was sort of the section where all the bad violinists would go in the orchestra. Yeah. But as viola has risen and gained more popularity, a lot of composers in the 20th and 21st century now have written a lot of solo repertoire for the viola. So it's really risen. But one of the things that drew me to the instrument was how it had a very introspective, darker nature than, say, the violin, which was more flashy and brilliant and fast-paced. The viola just had this deeply, it was just like, I don't know, it was just darker and like I said, more introspective. And I like that because my personality tends to be like that. Like, I'm not very extroverted.
Right.
It's
like melancholy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel...
It's more about the tones and the sound than it is about, look at me, I'm playing gazillion notes in the space of one
beat. Yeah, yeah.
So,
And I find the violin is like high and fast and it's almost like you're running, whereas when you're playing, it sounds like I'm floating right there.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like lifting me off my feet.
Right.
It's almost like the Exorcist thing. Like,
ooh. sound creepy.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. But a good creepy, like, it's like, okay,
it's very moving.
Yeah, very moving.
Yeah, all of the great viola players, they all have that same characteristic. It just sounds so rich and mellow and beautiful.
Totally. Well, we'd like to encourage you to start off with a song and we can talk a little bit more. So is it going to take a bit to set something up?
I've set up. So yeah, just a few seconds and I can get going.
Okay. Okay, so you go ahead and set that up and I'll come around. So Thomas is going to play some song on his viola with a looping mechanism.
What song is it? Did he say? Which was your first song, Thomas?
My first song, I think, will be... I think what I'll do is I'll play Ambrosia.
So this is called Ambrosia. And if I'm not mistaken, do you have that on the website?
No, this is a new piece that will probably get featured on subsequent recordings.
Okay. Right. So up and coming, sneak peek, preview.
Yes.
To the medicine show ears only. Here is Thomas Beck.
Yes. What I'd like to do is to start with.
Would you like to try some of those?
Tiny bit of improv.
With some improv?
What is this for?
That's so you can hear how it's sounding to the microphone.
Okay.
So you can get an idea of how far away to be from it. We don't like to pretend like we're not on air. We tell people exactly what we're doing as we're doing it. So
I'm actually going to do without it.
That's fine too.
Thanks.
So I'm going to turn this way. And you just go to town at your leisure and move this way.
So we're live setting up, getting ready for Thomas Beckman to play.
So that's a little bit of rearranging. Excuse us. As I said, live
in the
studio.
We're good. It's like coming, you know, we really want to push it so that it's almost like you're coming. We're having like a night in our living room, hanging out, having a Friday night chit-chat while everyone's getting ready to get all dolled up to go out and have a little party on.
Yeah.
Or sitting at home, just chilling out after a very beautiful day out, grabbing a book and a chill and a smile. Mm.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I don't think you'd have a cup of cocoa. It's kind of hot for that, but maybe a Coke and a smile.
Well, what do you think?
What's the second line after that? Isn't that a joke?
Oh, Lord. We're ready to go with some music. Go ahead, Thomas, whenever you're ready.
Thomas Beckman, here we go.
Very nice.
Very, very deep.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wow. Whoa, that kind of touched me. That was really deep, bro. Wow. I'm
incredible.
Thank you.
So that was an improv, right?
Oh, actually, that was... that's a piece that I've written at Cold Ambrosia. Yeah. So, yeah.
And so I in the song, I felt really... exciting, uplifting kind of, you know, floating moments where, and then really deep, like almost like heart pulling,
yeah,
moments. So what was the inspiration behind the song and the maybe possible meaning? You don't have to get too deep, but
I find that there's something I don't know, like just honest about having a certain degree of melancholy in your music. Because instead of trying to feel happy clappy, or I don't know, I think what makes life beautiful are the contrasts. You know, you can be happy, you can be sad, and I don't know. I think that it's nice to have something
together. All
that,
together.
Yeah, that goes yeah, with that. It's really... not just always happy, but you know, it's something that yeah.
Well, it was surprising because that's what I mean. It was like it was flowing and you kind of go with it as a listener.
Yeah.
And you're just going, wow. And then all of a sudden you go into this deep heart thing where it's just like, whoa. And all of a sudden it caught me off guard.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And it was deep, like almost like sorrow. But then it just kind of, it went deep and then it kind of came back up to the top of it.
Mm.
So it was a really nice experience. It was almost like a roller coaster, emotional.
Cool. Yeah.
What about you? Well, How did you feel? How did you feel?
I was just observing. I was just observing what you were saying about sort of being able to enjoy different emotions, even though they're not labeled as, you know, always the ones that are sweet,
right?
You know, and I think that that's really important. So that comes out in the music, right?
Yeah, I find that I get a lot of like, I don't know if you'd say this, but I feel very happy when I'm playing often melancholic music. It's kind of a strange thing. I may be playing, you know, this sort of sad sounding music, but inside I'm exulting.
Yeah. Sounds just like the blues.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
So, yeah.
And you can see that, like you're in it. You can, when you're witnessing yourself play.
So a couple of things I wanted to ask you about is that you're involved in teaching, and that's really important for a lot of different people and a lot of people who are listening, students right now. So you're involved in teaching the viola as well, right?
I just recently wrote a blog called The Power of, or The Value, sorry, of Experience. And I think one of the things, I have a handful of students, and one of the things I try and teach them is that there's actually a wealth of pleasure, and powerful experience that you can take out of connecting with your instrument, because a lot of people are, they're looking for sort of an immediate result, or well, what can I use this for? But I think my strength as a player comes from being sort of settling into that experience of playing. It's hard to describe, but just even like if you take one note and you just really sink into that note and you try and feel that note for what it's worth, it just like you can get so caught up in it, and it's very it's liberating. It takes you on a ride. And instead of being focused on the result or comparing yourself, you can, I think that's where the real payment comes from. And I think when you have that approach to the music, you can really ascend and you can improve so much more than when you're just looking to create a final result. You know, like it reminds me of my university years where you practice a passage for an hour with the metronome. And that's good, but if you're just doing it so that you can finally get to that final speed on the metronome to say that you've gone through it and you've done it, then you're kind of hijacking the whole experience of going through each speed on the bloody metronome. Yeah. And I think that gets lost. So I try to reinstill that into the students and just be like, you know, you've got to find a way to really connect. The viola or the violin, it's like your family member. Mm-hmm. Or the piece of music is like a family member. Get to know them intimately. Get to know every single note. Don't try and speed up and get a result. Really, yeah. Like every single note is a challenge in itself. It's a particular mechanical move.
Okay, you know. And so there's a lot of artists who want to start. And they often do that. They rush through it because they want to see a result because they're a new artist, right? And this often comes in the whole, you know, painters and musicians. And so people always say, enjoy the process, right?
Right.
So even any step in the right direction, even if you hurry it at first, realize that you should stop and enjoy it. That's what I always say.
And I think it's interesting because it's also a skill in its own self. Like when I have to tackle something new in music, provided that it's, you know, provided something that has real meaning for me. If I, you know, no matter how much you love something, there's always that challenge of, oh God, I really have to sit down and do this now. The follow through is everything, right? You know this as a filmmaker. Follow through is everything. And sometimes that is, it's challenging because it's, you find yourself like looking at something on YouTube or reading an email or doing a bunch of seemingly important correspondences, and it's not really the work itself.
Totally.
But I find that being able to switch on this mode of focus on the small details, I can spend 2 hours composing literally one line of music, just experimenting the harmonies, trying to practice it, see if it really goes down. And I've learned to sort of, I'm still fine-tuning it, but I can actually switch myself into a mode where I can tap into that patience.
Exactly.
And I can just get into it.
It's discipline.
Right.
But right? It would be like, I look at a musician in a lot of ways as a sports, as a sports star would be, and discipline and the training and the workout of your fingers and your mind, and just your mind, and wrapping your mind around it, and being able to focus and allowing your mind, your muscle, to learn.
Yeah.
And absorb.
Well, I've injured myself, so definitely exactly. We are athletes to some degree.
Yeah, I know, totally. Like, look at that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, do we have a CD release party for you coming up soon?
Well, my band has one coming up on the 23rd of October. And
are we invited?
Of course you're invited. You're a guest of honor.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Men. Front row.
That's nice.
And we're very excited because Don Alder is going to be opening up for us. And of course, he's a huge musical figure in Vancouver. Okay. I love how humble he is, because you often see him playing at open mics. Mm. But he's a huge, huge figure. He's got amazing fingers. But yeah, he's a great
player. Is this a public affair?
This is going to be open. Like, we've just booked it. We're going to spark off a big advertising campaign for it. But essentially, we booked the date. It's going to be at the fan club. And we're going to be releasing our second album. And that's a big milestone for all of us.
Right. What was the date again?
23rd October at the fan club.
Shoot it out.
There's already the beginnings of a concert page on my website, which is thomastheviolist.com. So if you go to the concert page, the upcoming concerts, you'll see it's all the way at the bottom there, and there are a whole bunch of other events that are coming up both with me and the band.
Oh yeah. So as they say, plug yourself. What other links do you want to give to the people here?
You know, like upcoming stuff?
Yeah, well, for links to find you, or do you just, you can go everywhere from thomastheviolist.com.
Yeah, if you go to thomastheviolist.com, there's the link to the Facebook, my Facebook page. You can find, right now we're building the Sons of Gramble website, so once that's built, I'll definitely have links to that. But yeah.
Okay.
It's all there on that site.
Today's program was brought to you by the word creation. How does that make you feel? Or what does it make you think? What does it provoke in you if you heard this word?
Well, creation is something that is so fundamental to the human experience, because we create things for the sake we create things that go well beyond our basic need for survival. Really? And I think that's something that I think as a species we should be immensely proud of. And I think that it's human to want to create, and I don't know, it's just something we create all the time, and you should constantly remind yourself that there's nothing stopping you from creating something that's new and something that comes from yourself. And we always look around ourselves to get ideas, and that's cool, but you've really got to bring out what's within you, and that's a discipline in itself. But yeah, creationism, it's everything to me.
Well,
can you get another song for us?
Yeah,
all right, go ahead. That's
it's a call.
Children of Mexico.
You know, at any time you're free to, I thought you were, that's why I asked about the last one. I thought you were just going to do some freeform jam. So whatever you feel like, you don't need to do a song or whatever you feel like.
Whatever you feel like.
Okay, sure.
Are you doing whatever you feel like or a song?
I'll do some improv and then a song.
Okay.
How's that?
Sweet. Here we go.
So, it's our pleasure again to have once again on the Medicine Show, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, UBC Radio.
DJ Ray.
DJ
yes,
Ray.
Yes, I'm here.
Jason
yep.
Lawrence.
And Tyrone Bruce. Tie your own shoelaces.
Yes.
Y'all got a basketball joke.
Tonight in the studio with us, tuning up, is Thomas Beckman.
And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Take it away, Thomas.
Okay.
And this song is called?
It's a jam and then into... Oh, okay.
It's a jam and then it goes into Children of Mexico.
Children
of Mexico.
Yeah. Thank you. Very well done.
Vancouver's adoptive son. Thank you, Thomas. That was very enjoyable. Amazing medicine. It looks like you've been doing...
Probably should have warmed up before I played.
Oh, totally amazing. Thank you so much for this music. And we're going to continue along here. You were talking earlier about giving young classical musicians ideas about expanding their horizons. Expanding their horizons. So, you know, you said electronic music, rock music. Mm. What would you want to encourage?
Well, I think I probably, if you're studying classical music, I probably want to spend a lot of time researching on YouTube to see what's out there, because there are a lot of creative things being done right now by people who are famous and non-famous alike. And I also want to, like, I would encourage a lot of young budding classical players to get out there and actually try fiddling with technology. Technology is your friend, and I think to really go forwards, they teach a very sort of pure form of music at a lot of universities, conservatories, and that's great, because yes, the technique is responsible for all of your facility as a player, but there's so many things that you can experiment with. It's almost like the loop pedal that I'm using here, the RC300, it's almost like helping you develop a musical alchemy of sorts. Mm. So, you know, this, you can be a very skilled player and you can be good with technology. Mm-hmm. And I think the future is embracing that technology. So go down to a music store, bring your violin, your cello, your viola, and just put on a pickup and just play around with some pedals. And I think it might just give you, you'll be like, holy cow, there's a whole other world out there.
Okay, so Thomas is mentioning this because of the fact that in a lot of, and I'm going to, you know, not talking about your third party, but that a lot of music stores allow you to go in there and actually sort of just play around with, if you've never tried a big stand-up bass or a xylophone before, go in and do it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all these toys for recording and technology to add to your organic sound.
Yeah. And I know what it's like, because when I initially started, I had a very simple delay loop pedal called the Line 6. And I was very intimidated to expand that to what I now have, the RC300, which is infinitely more complex. But to my great surprise, I found out that it's not nearly as difficult as I thought it would be. So just by giving yourself the opportunity to play around, you'll suddenly find that there's a whole wealth of things that is now possible that you can play around and achieve. The last thing I would mention or encourage players to do is go out and busk. Why am I saying this? Well, you're accomplishing three things at once. If you had as much stage fright as I used to, which is very typical for your average classical student, because the world of classical music is so judgmental and so competitive, it's hard not to be affected by it psychologically. If you go out there a bus, you're going to realize two things. One is that you're playing for the people, not for the critic. And that's not to say that mediocre is acceptable. It's to say that the power of music goes so much further beyond the critic saying, "Oh, I think that was a rather exquisite, lovely piece of music," or "that was a terrible piece of crap." You know, music has a power effect.
There's that English accent.
It has a power to affect so many people, and that's something that you should own as a musician and be proud of and go out there. And yeah, there'll probably be some people who don't like what you do, but, you know, so what? The other thing you'll experience is you'll experience a degree of success, which is great. Like, you'll actually encounter a lot of people who you never thought would just come out and just, like, encourage you and say great things. And that, I think that as a musician, to become confident, you need to experience a high volume of positive things, because when you're in classical school, all you're ever told is it's not good enough, or, you know, it's not possible. You've got to do this to save it. And it's nice as a musician to go out there and have a couple of experiences where you've actually been affirmed. And I think musicians, all growing musicians, need that little bit of encouragement to keep them on the track and to keep them working at it.
Well, I've got two questions and we're running out of time, but I'm going to keep on babbling. So just keep them back. So question is, if there was, if you could sort of put it out there to the universe of any resources or dream resources for you, and maybe there's even somebody listening that could, you know, point you in the right direction or encourage you or actually bring that your direction. What would you say to people out there listening that what could Thomas Beckman use on top of what you have? Like, what is it? Have you have everything you need, or is there something that you could use as far as resources?
I revel in the fact that I'm a self-made musician.
Can you use any help? I mean, is it?
Yeah, but all of the help that I get is part of an exchange that happens. So I find that as I get better as a musician, as I forge new wonderful connections with people, I'm able to give them just as much as they're able to give me, and I think that's the way to go about it. I don't want someone to just come around and wave a wand and say, "Oh, here you go, have this," or give me $1 million. As nice as that would be, it's nice to. I really get a tremendous amount of satisfaction from building things slowly and meticulously, and not looking to get to the touch line, but just. I enjoy going through it.
Now, you've done a lot of work, and for the community to help enable you would mean that the community would benefit from the music that you create. So that's right. Where I was going with that. Hmm. And I don't think it's a matter of somebody giving you something for free.
Right.
It's just a matter of where are you going next? And are you going to do videos next? Or are you looking for a label to sign with? Or are you...
Right.
You know, contributing your share part, like I said, if you're signing with a label, you'll definitely be needing to contribute your music.
Yeah.
What are you looking for next? Is there any other, what's the next step for you, do you think?
I think the next step for me is, composing. I'm going to be tapping into the public for, probably for funds in the near future for a music score. And I'm also looking... I'm looking to get the opportunity to write more music for films, documentaries, whatever they may be. So, yeah.
It's interesting you have this passion for films. And we do a lot, you know, a lot of us in this crowd here are filmmakers.
Yeah. I've received my first commission to compose a score for a documentary. I can't say much about it, but for now, let's just say it's about... it's about First Nations up in northern BC, and it's about sharing some incredible stories that have been going around for centuries, and it's about illuminating those stories and bringing them into Western culture and society, and so it's a project I'm very honored to be a part of, and it's very spiritually deep, powerful music that is needed for this documentary, so... That for me is a huge opportunity, and that film's going to be screening in many international film festivals. So I think I've pretty much got what I've been looking for, and I think that's going to be my jump.
What a blessing, just even being involved in stuff like in that kind of a project. I was going to say a big shout out to the Musqueam Nation. We are on Musqueam land here.
Unceded Coast Salish territory.
Yes. And so a shout out to the local neighborhood here that's listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So one last thing I want to ask you is about how has your background as a street musician affected your path, and how has it affected it? And
I would say it's taught me patience. When you spend hours and hours and hours playing on the street like I have, it really teaches you the power of patience. It teaches you that there's no shortcut, but actually being a musician is not, it's not about the fame and the wealth and all of that stuff that I think many people go into the industry looking for. It's about the journey, you know, and I even did a concert a couple of years back called The Journey. It's just about the sheer love and passion that you can get from connecting with an art form, in my case, music. And I've learned a lot of that through busking because I haven't had anyone who I'm playing for. I haven't had anyone who's specifically told me what to do with it. I've just played for myself. And by just connecting with what I love to do and owning it, I think I've affected and touched many people, which is why now my band, for instance, has been voted to second best of all the bands in Vancouver, of the Georgia Straits Best of Edition, you know, that's twice now that we've had that great honor and we won the Tell a Story Hive competition, which was a $10,000 grant. And I'm getting more and more feedback from people on Facebook, and things are really taking off. And I think it's just all of that stuff just happened by just being patient and just putting in the time. So playing on the streets has taught me that patience. It's taught me the humility. It's taught me to be proud of my beginnings. A lot of people think that to be a musician, you need to be sort of a wanderlust talent. And I'm anything but that, because when I first got into university, my teacher said to me, "Oh my God, your worst case scenario." And I'll never forget that. And like, and that's fine. And thanks to her for saying that to me, I just worked my ass off, and I've done that on the streets too. And now I'm starting to have some real results. So,
well, if you hadn't have been through what you went through, you wouldn't have been here with us now.
That's
appreciate all of your good and your bad experiences to make you aware.
All good, man. All good.
Do you have something that you want to ask him before we go? Say hi, goodbye.
And I just want to say it's been an honor for your work and busking throughout Vancouver. Hopefully we'll come again. We'll see each other again next time.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We're going to go into this piece coming up here. And did you have a song lined up for us too as well?
Yes.
Did you have one?
No, we will have that in a moment.
Okay, thank you very much, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to you have a solo album coming up in the fall, probably, or
The
early spring or something.
It's a film score that's going to be released as sort of like as my own sort of album as well. It's kind of like two birds with one stone.
Right. The documentary and then the soundtrack will be a separate.
It'll be on my site. It'll be released as its own soundtrack.
Beautiful.
And I'll be releasing that probably early next year.
Looking forward to that. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Right,
and we will be seeing him again. And so this is a quick, are we ready for this?
We're going to be back in just a moment here on The Medicine Show. And we'll be back in a minute.
Bam! Peanut butter and jam! Yes.
What the f*** are you doing, Phil?
Right now it's time to...
Peanut butter. Damn. First you dig peanuts and you dig 'em. You dig 'em. You dig 'em, dig 'em, dig 'em. Then you crush 'em. You crush 'em. You crush 'em, crush 'em, crush 'em. Then you spread 'em. You spread 'em. You spread 'em, spread 'em, spread 'em. Peanut butter.
Damn.
Peanut butter.
You're looking for the best in local music and local food. It's got to be Peanut Butter and Jams with your host Brenda and Jordy, alternating Thursdays 6 to 7:30. Check it out.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Sorry for that.
Can you bring down the volume?
Yeah.
A little bit down.
Bill, a little bit, of technical difficulties here.
Bring down the volume.
Hi.
Anyways.
So we're back in the studio with the Medicine Show, and besides the technical glitch, that was an amazing performance by Thomas Beckman.
Yay. Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Tommy.
Thanks to Thomas Beckman.
And Beckman. His amazing looping
fingers.
Yes. So in the studio, we got our next musician up on the docket, Tidswell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming,
bud. Tidswell is a multi-talented instrumentalist, comedy musician, personality extraordinaire. Welcome to the show.
All right. Well, hey, guys, it looks like you're having fun in here. That was just amazing to listen to from outside there.
Uh-huh.
Thomas was just laying it down, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to adjust this, and it's going to sound horrible for 2 seconds, okay?
All right, that's what they want to hear out there in Radio Land. Oh, okay, yeah.
Crunchy, crunch, crunch, crunch.
They want to be threatened.
Okay, see it towards the red. There we go. So right away, we're going to, besides all these, this is wonderful, like being in the living room with us.
So Jason, you and I, you recognized me when I walked in.
Instantly. Yeah. We're from the old neighborhood, Kitsilano.
Yeah. We both used to see Crazy Fingers, that band way back. They used to play UBC once in a while, the Sub Ballroom.
Absolutely. Remember that show with the hydroelectric streetcar and her Crazy Fingers and all that?
Totally. Big light show.
The light show with the bunch of kids running around.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember all that? Wow.
Yeah.
And so what a memory lane trip this is.
It is. Well, I had a band back then called The Way, and I've started posting videos from that era, calling it Tidswell in The Way, because when I went on YouTube and saw how many bands called themselves The Way, I kind of crawled into a box and didn't want to come out. So yeah, you know, it was a band that came out of high school, Churchill High School here in Vancouver, and I'm still playing with some of the musicians today. We play every Saturday at the Regal Beagle on Broadway, which is a Kitsilano venue.
And that's not on TV? That's not like Three's Company?
Yeah, Jack shows up once in a while, and Mr. Roper tries to up the rent. And
by the way, for those who don't know, Three's Company is an old television show that used to be quite famous.
In the 80s.
They had a place where they all hung out called the Regal Beagle.
Yeah.
I know way too much about early television. Anyway. So we want to ask you about links and where to find you and all this stuff, but this is Friday night. There's a lot of young people listening who love music. So how about we'll start off with some music and then we'll talk more.
All right. Okay, well, so this first song is a song, kind of, you know, environmental theme that I wrote about when I was going to some logging blockades and stuff back in the day. And it's about kind of, you know, protecting the watershed. It's a little bit
beautiful,
optimistic, but you know, you need a bit of optimism these days.
Absolutely.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Take it away. This is Tidswell.
Sing. what's been said by the wise who foresee the demise of the children ahead.
All right.
So we're going to come right back in a moment. This is The Medicine Show here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Welcome to The Medicine Show. Welcome back, DJ Ray and Jason.
I'm Jason Lauren.
Sorry, we just had a little glitch there. There we go.
Jason Lawrence. And today, I mean, back in the studio with Tidswell. So we were just saying what that's very inspiring that you would have a social conscience and sing about such nice things, and you were going to follow it up with another song?
Yeah, something a little more uplifting now, a little, you know, just something about... Traveling light. It's called travel. She's a traveling light. You know, it's
traveling light.
Yeah, you can't be attached to anything.
Does this mean so that she's like, you know, letting go of all that baggage and moving on? And
you
could
potentially be part of that baggage she's letting go of. Yeah, potentially. Oh,
but
hopefully not. Hopefully not.
It sounds like very.
You're just skipping along the road with her, and you don't have any baggage either. And together, you're going places.
Right on, man.
All right.
Having a good time, right, man.
She's a traveling light, skips on down the road. You wanna come along with me, you gotta lay down your load. She's got a feathered mind, she flies above the clouds. If you wanna fly along with me, two simple truths, and you can't go wrong. You know it's a good one when your heart sings along. When I'm under the weather, she dances the clouds away. When my heart lands dry, she sends cool. She's a traveling light, just a traveling light. She's a traveling light, just a traveling light. She's a traveling light, weaving colors in. Skips on down the road. If you wanna come along,
Very nice.
You know, this is quite a pleasant trip. All these old friends in the studio tonight. I even have a friend from the
What was that?
A gymnasium full of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell the people how they can find more Tidswell.
All right, well, I got a website I've been building. It's got all kinds of links to all kinds of aspects of my my little universe, artistic universe, called tidswellstudios.com. And, of course, you can come see me and a few other friends play every Saturday at the Regal Beagle as Buddy and the Scarecrow. And you can find that on Facebook as well, Buddy and the Scarecrow.
Hmm.
Just look us up on Facebook and you'll see pictures of Mr. Roper and Chrissy and Jack Ritter.
Love it. Memory lane.
And hopefully you'll have us out one time when I can grab the other guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of them that were at the Folk nice. Fest. Yeah. They were they had passes so they couldn't make it out. And yeah, now that I know how fun it is.
Yeah, and we knew we were in for the people. You warned me that they might not have the full band here tonight. So I realized I wanted to mention to the people that when I was listening to your demos, we talked about how it was so greatly influenced by some people that we used to listen to and concerts we used to see.
Grateful Dead.
The Grateful Dead, Eugene, Oregon, man.
And I saw a little picture in their hallway of some guy's studio, and there's a Grateful Dead banner hanging in there in that photo. It's just, they're everywhere, People don't realize how influential the Grateful Dead were.
Almost definitely. Sure.
And especially on the West Coast here, a lot of our friends used to go down as a big clump and go to see Grateful Dead shows. We'd almost take up a whole section of a stadium, like a whole bleacher section full of Canadians. And a lot of friendships were formed down at these shows. And then, of course, everyone would go and camp together after the show. And it was a great experience to have as a young adult, to get out there and go and experience.
Did you ever go to the hot springs up near Crater Lake
Cougar,
and all that?
Cougar Hot Springs.
Amazing.
In Oregon, back when there wasn't as many restrictions, right?
Right.
And everyone was just running around naked.
It was amazing.
It was good. Yeah, it was fun.
They changed all that, eh?
Well, now you gotta pay.
Clothing.
You gotta pay.
Oh, no!
Still can be naked, but I think you gotta pay to be naked now.
Absolutely. Tidswell, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks, Jason.
What do we call you? Call you by a slang name?
B-Rad. People know B-Rad from Hempco.
Thank you very much for coming in. People going down, see Tidswell down at the Regal Beagle.
There you go.
And that's the Saturday nights, and look for him as well on his .coms.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
All right,
absolutely.
See you soon, buddy.
So
thank
coming
you so
up
much.
Next, we have somebody coming
My
in
buddy's
to talk.
Coming.
Our buddy from
Woo!
The
Sean
industry,
White.
Hey,
Sean man,
White,
how
is doing?
Welcome, pull up a stool.
On
this
the studio
mic.
Tonight is Sean White. So
it's a pleasure to be here, brothers.
Totally,
it's a pleasure.
Totally.
1 foot away from this. There you go.
Cool. You can hear yourself, and if it sounds a little too much,
he'll bring it down too.
So what's been going on, man? We haven't seen you for a while now. I think I saw you one day. I was running down the street on Davis Street. You're working at Brooklyn?
Yeah, I do that part time. Yep. Actually, I do a lot of them right now.
Right on. Talk to us about it.
Just in golf.
Shout out Brooklyn, great store.
Shout out Brooklyn Clothing. What's up, guys? Here representing. Bottom line, just really engulfed in the industry right now. A lot of marketing and communications work, branding.
Nice.
Just really diving into my passions like that. Some side styling gigs, some special events. Yeah, we're busy.
Busy.
Oh, yeah. And the beard game's
and the beard,
mean.
The
and the beard
awesome.
Game's vicious
it's
right
awesome.
Now.
This
yeah,
is
yeah.
Great.
Is there a playoff somewhere in the world?
Oh, man, I'm in this to win this, man. Yeah. It's always playoffs.
Nice.
Nice.
By the way, Sean is sporting a very large beard. Unlike the last time I saw him, so that's what I'm
You know, using. I obviously, me stalking from out east, and to me, this is the stalking out here in the west. Mm. Like, this guy rocks the casual style, like it's the chicest thing on the planet. Oh. So, I'm all with the Sean style. Oh, so, it's all
dirty
good.
Pretty, Just that
totally.
Dirty pretty.
You can work it, brother. Not everybody
you
can get away
slick
with it.
You were slick when you showed up at the travel show like that.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally.
I like this. So,
right on. So
what are you working
about
on
your
now?
Side events, your special events that you're working on.
You know what? First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to Dress for Success and Ovarian Cancer Society.
Nice, nice.
Worked with them on some fashion shows.
Right on.
You know what I mean? Some big, annual fundraisers.
Right on.
And so that was really exciting.
Sweet.
Really to work with some really passionate people. you know what I mean, who are just doing it for the good of the community.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And they were really excited about having a fashion component in the show, and they're
right.
It was just an honor to be a part of it.
Brilliant,
you know what I mean?
Brilliant. Yeah, exactly. I know your groove. I know how you have that. That's really, I think that's the thing that tends to glue me to certain people in the industry is, you know, obviously we need to pay our rent and have the bills paid, but we also have the side to be able to give back. And if it's something that we're passionate about and we expect people to, you know, kind of look at us to kind of work with us,
yeah.
We also have to show that genuine side, which has the integrity to the industry. And it's not just about the Benjamins as well.
I appreciate you saying that, you know, and I mean, it's more than buzzwords, you know what I mean? Like to me, you know, the principles of community, transparency, supporting home, you know what I mean? And just being genuine with who you are, you know what I'm saying? And whether they accept you for it or they don't, you know what I mean? You can't be worried about that. Just be you and be transparent, and whatever happens should happen. Whatever shall be should be, you know what I mean?
Totally, totally.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Did you ever hear that Hollywood is slightly shallow?
I heard that. I heard that. But what do you think about Hollywood North?
And I was going to say, so do you have any advice for surviving the rat race of Hollywood and its shallow behavior?
You know what? Honestly, I'll put it this way. For me, I guess survival is, I mean, you want to define your own survival, okay? And so for me, survival is being able to look at myself in the morning and feel that I'm representing what I come from and my goals and my passions properly. And if I can do that, not only am I surviving, I feel that I'm thriving. And that's my bottom line.
Can one actually be successful without compromising one's morals in this sea?
Once again, great question, Jason. I mean, I look at it like this. Once again, is you define your own success, right? So having the power to define my own success, yes, you can be. And if you attach your success to things that can be compromised, well, you're going to have a hard time being successful. But if you're able to attach your success to things that you can maintain with integrity, well, hey, why couldn't you then? You know, that's really on you to define and carry through, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people set themselves up in a bad way because they see success as perhaps, you know, the wrong thing.
Or they allow someone else to define their success for them.
Exactly. So today being Nelson Mandela's memorial, that said, who, not necessarily Nelson, he's inspired a lot of people, but who on the planet, whether past, present, I wouldn't say future unless you know things, something that we don't know. who's coming?
Negro Domus, you don't know about that.
who's been your inspiration? What being, what group, what entity, what inspires you?
You know, I'm going to have to give you just the honest answer right off top. And, you know, my biggest inspirations are my mother and my father. Like,
awesome.
Before I say anything else,
family.
Those two are number one for me. You know what I mean? I built my morals, my ethics, my values are from them.
Right.
So if I say anyone before them, I'd be lying.
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be lying. Totally. You know what I mean? And I'm not about that.
Right.
After them, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Are you talking about just personally? Are you talking about
personal.
Within the industry?
I'd say personal. You know, usually when we're talking to a musician or a band, we ask them that question, and usually, not always, some, like a lot of times they come up with a musician from the past who's inspired them, God, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, whoever it is, they say that they have somebody who they've looked at and their morals and their characteristics, which has inspired them in their moral self as well as their professional self as well.
Okay, yeah, definitely. And the names that I put out there, I mean, it doesn't mean that I co-sign everything they
exactly.
did. Sometimes you learn from their mistakes,
yeah,
even.
Totally.
So, I'm a bit of a history buff.
Okay.
Right? So, some of my most influential people have been, well, Alexander the Great was
right.
somebody that I really studied
totally.
Up heavy. Just that whole mentality of never losing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally, totally.
And that just blew me away. I mean, obviously, culturally, there's different values, but at the same time, having the standard for oneself and feeling divine in a sense.
Exactly.
And realizing that we can all draw upon that.
Totally.
That was really inspirational for me. There's actually a Japanese swordsman that really spoke a lot of truth to me.
I'm gonna do something that's going to sound bad.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Right at the red.
There we go. Perfect.
Wonderful. A gentleman by the name of Musashi.
Okay.
And I think about 14th, 15th century. And he was known as a swordsman who never lost a duel. And reading his philosophies and how he came to understand life through the sword, and then once he found that understanding, he was able to apply it to all the other areas in his life. And it really rang true with me. I was giving wisdom one time that was, you know, you got to get good at something first to understand what it takes to be successful.
Exactly.
And once you get that, then you can start applying that to other areas, and then you continue to reciprocate success. Right. And so getting good at one thing first was very, it's not easy.
No,
it's
totally,
not easy.
Totally.
And I know you guys, you two are both very talented. Yeah. And it's, when you're talented at more than one thing at a time, how do you pick a first amongst equals?
Yeah.
And so that's difficult.
Right.
And you got to go in. And
totally.
At one point, you really just got to go with something.
Yeah.
And get good at it.
Yeah. I have a process which, you know, taking it on each particular little thing, it's called good, better, best.
Mm.
And so I hit something good, and then I know that I have to make it better.
Yes.
And then from better, I don't stop there. I make it the best that I can possibly do. I don't really compare myself with other people or what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I basically have my own agenda.
Yes.
Of perfection in my own skills, in my own morals.
Yeah.
My own characters, and that's my own personal evolution. And so that's kind of how I go about things and look at it.
Is there any projects you'd like to talk to us about
that are coming up?
Actually, funny enough, I actually just registered for my own consulting business, so fashion marketing, and yeah, so consulting that. I already have a couple brands. I can't really...
You know that I know a guy who I was speaking to that you're actually... They're looking at you as being the art director on this upcoming film, and I... that is going to be a brilliant project for you, Matt.
Well, do I get to work with you, though?
You get... Actually, I'm the director of the project.
Oh, well, then that's a blessing.
It's kind
right
of
there.
Like a little sneak out there to the public.
Oh.
We're kind of like... We're about to try to pimp him on to the show, so we'll see what we can do.
Okay, Goldie, you do your thing, Goldie.
Exactly.
Well, that's... No, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Like, so many... You know what? And that's one thing. It's just... The more and more I'm in this industry, it's just amazing how many talented people you meet.
Exactly.
And just passionate people.
Totally.
And a lot of people might not have been heard of, you know.
Yeah.
They could be working in the shadows right now. They're probably working right now.
Well, I think the big deal about that is the residue that each of us leave. Like, Jason and I were talking about that the other day, is the residue of each of the... of what we leave after we finish one project or working with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that our name is carried around even though we don't know about it. Like,
yes.
Yours, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When, you know, we're sitting there going, okay, so you're usually the creative director on the project. Who are you going to fill that? And plus I'm very,
yeah.
You know, I have
yeah.
my own standard of
yeah.
of details and perfection.
Yeah.
And so they you know, basically who are we going to use?
Yeah.
And so I think, again, the way someone handles the situation,
mm-hmm.
somebody's watching, and that is what comes back to you, right? And so even in your case, when we worked with you in the past, it was somebody that I knew that I could count on to do a detailed job, so we brought your name up.
Oh.
So I was going to ask Kelly, can we go over by 2 minutes or something here? Are we
We're really close to the end.
Okay.
I want to ask you about...
One minute.
First of all,